Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 25. We're continuing with the story of Subhuti Roy takes shelter of Vrindavan. Yesterday we heard how this Bengali great devotee, Subhuti Roy, he was a landholder in Bengal, and he hired one Muslim, Mr. Khan, Hussein Khan, to work for him as a laborer, digging a ditch for a lake. But somehow or other, in the future, that laborer, Muslim laborer, became the governor. It's quite a stroke of good fortune. One day he was digging a hole, the next day he was riding a Rolls Royce, the governor. And then his wife, Mr. Khan or Mrs. Khan, who's only called Stree here, the woman, Stree, she saw some whip marks on his back because while he was working for Subhuti Roy, Subhuti Roy gave him a few cracks, the whip. And then later on, his wife noticed this on her husband's back and she said, "Who has done this?" And he said, "Oh, it's nothing really. Years ago when I was a laborer, my employer, Mr. Subhuti Roy, he cracked me." And then she said, "Well, why don't you kill him? This is the fitting punishment for him. Now that you have so much power, why don't you kill him?" Of course, he was hesitant about that. And then his wife insisted. So then he thought, "Well, I'll sprinkle some water on him and kill him socially by turning him into a Muslim." So he did that. And that was considered to be a severe act 500 years ago for a Hindu to receive water on his head from the water pitcher of a Muslim. So Subhuti Roy didn't know what to do, so he went to some counseling system. And he asked, "What should I do?" And some Brahmin said, "Now you might as well die, because you can't live anymore as a Hindu, because your Hindu caste and dharma is finished. And you can't live as a Muslim, because that's not life anyway. So better you drink 1 liter of hot ghee and give up your life." So he accepted their kind advice and thought he should seek some further counsel. So he was doubtful. And that's where the story continues today. Tabe jari Mahaprabhu Varanasi aila tanri mili raya apan Britanta kahila. In his state of perplexity, Subhuti Roy met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when the Lord was at Varanasi. Subhuti Roy explained his position. Of course, I forgot one point of the story. That Subhuti Roy, apparently he had been married for some time. It's not indicated, but we can assume that. We like to assume that. That before this incident happened where he became converted to a Muslim, technically, in his mind he had developed a great sense of detachment from his wife and family. So when he was sprinkled with water, he took this as an opportunity to take sannyas. He said, "Now I'm socially dead, so I'm not a Hindu, so I can't be a Hindu husband or a Hindu father. And I can't observe the Hindu dharma of raising my children or maintaining my wife because I'm ostracized and castigated from society. So better I drop out completely." So he took it as a good opportunity. "Well, I was waiting for a good reason to leave everybody. And now I can justify my leaving." At least he was thinking like this. I don't know how his wife took it, but we don't hear that side. But anyway, he left. He went to Varanasi. And in Varanasi, by his good fortune, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. So first he approached some Varanasi Brahmins. And they said, listen, there's nothing you can do but give up your body. So being doubtful, he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu advised him, Prabhu kahe ihan hoite jahan brindavan nirantara kara krishna nam sankirtan. It's pretty clear what he said. Mahaprabhu told him, go to Vrindavan and chant the Hare Krishna mantra constantly. So this is the solution to all doubts. The situation is that Subhuti Roy, he was doubtful. Doubtful about his future. Doubtful about the advice he had received from well-wishing learned pundits and viparas who were posing as well-wishers, as advisors, counselors. He had some doubts. Sometimes we also, in our lives, we meet some well-wishing counselors, or advisors, our parents, our relatives, our friends. And they say, you should do this, you should do that. And they advise us to engage or follow various pursuits or activities which are not Krishna conscious and not really conducive to spiritual advancement. So we may be doubtful about their advice. Is this the best thing for me? So if we approach the Lord or the Lord's representatives, oftentimes they give quite contrary instructions. And they, you approach and they say, what are they saying? Forget that. Go to Vrindavan, chant Hare Krishna. Take shelter of Vrindavan. Nirantara kare Krishna nam sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya was very fond of this phrase, and he would use this phrase in various ways in most of his instructions. It's a variation of Kirtaniya Sadhari. Kirtan. Just do kirtan. And the best place in the world to do kirtan is the holy dham. Mayapur, Vrindavan. Even Mayapur is even more special. More surcharged. They say that Mayapur, Navadvip, is sadhanastali. And Vrindavan is siddhastali. So in place of perfection or place of sadhan. So we go, of course, both are places of perfection and sadhana. But if we go to Navadvip Mandal or Mayapur, especially we can absorb ourselves in kirtan, shravanam kirtan, and that will sweep our hearts, cleanse our hearts. And when our hearts are cleansed, then we can remember the eternal pastimes of Gauranga and Radha and Krishna. And with the ticket of acceptance, admission. They say no permission, no admission. So we take the permission from Mahaprabhu and then we get admission to Radha and Krishna's leelas. So Mayapur is permission dham and Vrindavan is admission dham. No permission, no admission. So it's quite appropriate. The Mahaprabhu said, because he had already been in Navadvip, Mandal, and Subhuti Roy is an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why he took shelter of him. First, of course, because Brahmins are the advisors or the gurus for the members of society. They advise and counsel the four members of the four varnas and ashrams, or three ashrams. But sannyasis are gurus of everyone, and God is everyone's guru. So if we face doubts in life or conflicts in life, we can seek some shelter, some guidance, some answers from well-wishers, from Brahmins, from intelligentsia. But this answer, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the hole-in-one or is the one-shot sledgehammer all-inclusive answer. My Prabhupada used to say that the goldsmith, when he's fashioning gold into rings or jewelry, he's very careful with a little tiny hammer and he's very carefully hitting the gold, shaping it, tat 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 tat. But when you go down to the other side of town, quite far removed from the jewelry shops, and go down by the railroad tracks. And there are some men down there making horseshoes for the bullock carts, some of those horseshoes, metal iron shoes. And they put the iron, they heat the iron up in the fire, and they put it on the anvil, and they take a big hammer, whack! They hit it with one shot, bam, bam, and the job is finished. Two shots and it's finished. Prabhupada gives this analogy. So he said, Krishna consciousness is the anvil. You know, we're the iron, and Krishna puts us on the anvil, bam, bam, and we're, puts us back into shape. But the processes of karma or jnana or yoga, the tap, 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 it's a very slow process of purification of consciousness or bringing us from tamagun to rajagun, which was what karmakanda does. Then yoga and jnana bring us from rajagun to tamagun, to sattvagun. But Krishna consciousness erases all the gunas and gives us transcendental life, eternity and full of bliss. So this answer that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave is the perfect answer. It's the blacksmith's solution. One smack. Go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna incessantly. This is the solution to all problems. This is the answer to all doubts. We have to see it like this. Because the Lord is absolute, and everything he says and does is absolute. So Subuddhi Roy, what does this mean? Roy means someone who has something. Roy means a landholder. And Subuddhi means good intelligence. So we're also holding some land. Every jiva is holding some land. It's called the land of the territory of the body. It's called Kshetra. Kshetra, Kshetragya. Chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita. So we're also landholders, right? How big is the soul? You have 100 acres of land outside of Paris, a farm. And you're one man, you're 6 feet tall. You cover some area with your body, but you have vast lands, forest, river, lake, 100 acres, big area. But this soul is very tiny inside this body. So tiny. So this body is like 100 acres or 1,000 acres compared to the soul. So the soul is the landholder, the zamindar of the body. Right? Jiva Rai. Rai, the title Rai means landholder. Ramananda Rai was the governor of practically he held in his hand all of South India, all the land of South India from Madras all the way down to Kerala. Huge area. And buddhi means intelligence, and su means good. So if you're a landholder, you're holding some land and you have good intelligence, then you should take the instruction of Mahaprabhu to heart. Nirantara kara nam sankirtan. Vrindavan jave, or what they say. And then we get on the rickshaw, mandir javo, right, in the Bengali. This is mandir jave. Go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna day and night. And you'll get perfection. You'll attain Krishna Prema. It's Panchangam Bhakti. You'll get everything. Because if you go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna day and night, Nam Sankirtan is one of the angas, or five angas to perfection. Living in Vrindavan is the second one. And the third one is Sadhu Sangha. Because if you chant Hare Krishna day and night, what will happen? Sadhus will come to you. Krishna will send them to you. And they'll hear from you and you'll hear from them. It's like, what does Indra do? Indra chants Hare Krishna day and night. That's what he does. He sits in his room and he chants Hare Krishna. And then he comes out of his room and goes to the temple and he chants and everybody says, oh, this person is chanting in Vrindavan. Let's go. Isn't it? And the whole temple fills up with people. And then that's Sadhu Sangha. They're associating with him, and then also Sadhus sit with him, and then they follow into his room, and Harikatha goes on. So this way, you can attain perfection. Prabhupada explains in his purport, Mahaprabhu's suggestion is the solution to all sinful activities. In the age of Kali, everyone is perplexed by so many inconveniences, social, political and religious. It's interesting, Prabhupada says that these are sources of inconvenience. social dealings. Social dealings means society. Society means people. Husband, wife, mother, father, teacher. These are sources of inconvenience. It's interesting language here. There are many inconveniences, social, political, and religious. Religion is also inconvenient. Like you will have a party on Sunday, but your parents are taking you to church. So it's inconvenience to go to church when you want to go to the party. Inconvenience. And rather, it's interesting. And then he says, and naturally no one is happy. Due to the contamination of the age of Kali, everyone has a very short life. There are many fools and rascals who advise people to adopt this way of life or that way of life. What is it? The art of living? Who is that? That one fool and rascal? There's some fool and rascal that has a program called The Art of Living? Yes. It's not the musician, it's another one. He fits in this sentence. I suppose in 1974 there was some other person Prabhupada had in mind. There are many fools who advise people to adopt this way of life or that way of life. But real liberation from life's perplexities means preparation for the next life. Tata dehantara praptir diras tatra namuyati. One should be situated in his spiritual identity and return home back to Godhead. The simplest method for this is recommended herein by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should constantly chant the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Krishna consciousness movement is recommending this process all over the world. We are saying, what are we saying? We're saying, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, be freed from the complexities of life and realize Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Engage in his devotional service, perfect your life so you can return home back to Godhead. In a very nice last sentence, Prabhupada is explaining the mission statement for the International Society of Krishna Consciousness as an institution and for the individual members. This is our sadhana and our sadhya. Our goal is to realize Krishna, serve him eternally, which is our perfection, and go to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada is taking the example of Subhuti Roy and the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the standard for the entire world. As Mahaprabhu instructed one person, Subhuti Roy, ISKCON, or Prabhupada's preaching mission, is advising millions of people. And the same instruction that Mahaprabhu gave to Subhuti Roy, ISKCON and the preachers and members of ISKCON are giving to everyone. Perfect your life. It's interesting here, Prabhupada is saying, he's talking about dehantara praptir, changing bodies, which is generally, this verse from Gita refers to changing one material body after another, or even changing bodies in this one lifetime. Changing our boyhood body into our man's body, and our man's body into our old man's body, and then dying and taking a new body. This is the karma chakra, samsara, the cycle of birth and death. But in the context of Prabhupada's comment, he says that one should be situated in his spiritual identity. The simplest method for this is recommended. So Prabhupada is saying, you want to realize your siddha deha, your spiritual body, here's a very good way to do it. Nirantarakara Nam Sankirtan and Vrindavan Vas. Live in Vrindavan and chant the holy name incessantly and you'll realize your siddha deha. Very interesting. Here, sleeping in one little corner, the Madhya Leela, on one little page, upper left-hand corner of this page, is that whole padati. This is the padati. This is the path or the process of perfection. Chant the holy name incessantly. Take shelter of the Sarup Shakti of the Lord. And that Sarup Shakti of the Lord will reveal the Siddha Deha. The holy name is the Sarup Shakti of the Lord and the holy Dham. Because you have to be situated somewhere. You need to have foundation to progress. You need some terra firma. We need some solid land under our feet. It's called Sandini Shakti. So the land of Vrindavan is that solid land, the holy Dham. It is a terra firma, a solid land, firm earth. Because it is the earth, it is the soil of transcendence. Because in the land of Vrindavan, everything will be adjusted. Your sharanagati, your shelter will be adjusted. Your surrender will be adjusted. Everything will be adjusted by the existence potency of the Lord. This is a fact. So that's this. And Prabhupada says in so many places that we want all the elderly gentlemen of the world to retire, to come to Vrindavan and live here peacefully and engage in bhajan. Elderly, what does elderly mean? Does it mean you're about to die? Well, then that means everyone. As Prahlad Maharaj says, that everyone's on the verge of death. Young, old, what is this old age? So therefore, when Prabhupada said, we want all the elderly people of the world, the retired people, he said, I want all the elderly people to come to retire in Vrindavan and do bhajan. We have our one Krishna Balaram guest house, and we can build so many more. And Prabhupada did. He built the Krishna Balaram guest house. And seeing there was so many people were coming, following his instructions, then he built so many more. He gave them different names, Chintamani Dham, Radha Dham. These are all Prabhupada's guest houses. Because it's his will. Because nothing, Ichha Shakti is the source of all activity. Kriya or action doesn't begin unless there's Ichha. Ichha, Chesta, and Kriya. So thinking, feeling means chesta. Chesta means planning, deeply contemplating, manana. First there's ichha, there's desire, thinking, then there's feeling, then there's willing. So it's ichha, chesta, and kriya. So that was Prabhupada's desire. So his own institution was a little busy with various other pursuits and different problems. But Prabhupada's will was fulfilled. Thy will shall be done. So because before Prabhupada came to Vrindavan and established Krishna Balaram guest house, there were only a few guest houses cluttered around Bunki Bihari to serve the Marwaris and the followers of Haridas Swami that wanted to take darshan. 5, 6, 7. That's all. Enough. Sufficient. But then Prabhupada came to Ramanreti and made ISKCON and then spread his books all around the world. And if you go and you want to prove, I'm saying this, so you say, oh, I don't believe this, that, whatever. You want to have the proof. You go to all these different guest houses in Ramanreti and Chaitanya Bihar and Madhavan Colony, everywhere. 100. And you look at all their brochures or pamphlets, and every one of them has the name ISKCON on it. For example, some people, they have a fetish. They have a fetish of putting their name on everything. So they get a steel plate and they write under the bottom, Krishna Das. They get a steel cup and they write on it, Krishna Das. And they get their shirt and on the collar they write, Krishna Das. And on their gumshoe they write, Krishna Das. Because I remember in the temple, we had this communist living in ISKCON where everybody would, wash was all done, laundry was all done together and plates were all merged together. It was kind of like a Mayavadi commune. So everyone would write on their little bit, a few possessions they would have, Krishna Das. So if your gumshoe got mixed up with someone else's in a washing machine, you could separate it. Or even on your socks, you would write KD, KDD or KD or some initial, because you don't want Krishna's name on your socks. So someone will write, if someone has a sense of mamata or possession, they'll write their name on everything. In care of, this book is in care of so-and-so. We do that. Especially our books. We're very attached. And sometimes I'm missing some books and I go to someone's room somewhere and I look in the front and I say, oh, this is where my book went. And it goes here and there and I find it in someone's room because in the front I say CO, you know, care of. As we learned that from some God brothers in ISKCON. They said Prabhupada said it's okay. Anyway, whatever. So all of these guest houses in Ramanreti, they're writing 5 minutes from ISKCON, across the street from ISKCON, walking distance to ISKCON, near the beautiful deities of ISKCON. So every single one of these guest houses has Prabhupada's signature on it. So when you own something, then you put your signature on it. So ISKCON is Prabhupada's signature. It's him. He himself said, it is my body. You can't separate Prabhupada from ISKCON. Therefore, his will to have so many guest houses for people to retire in Vrindavan and do bhajan is being executed by all these, this land developer and that land developer and so many people. And then once it's done, then they say, oh, we better, this belongs to ISKCON. this belongs to Prabhupada. He is the inspiration. He is the source. And we're all connected with him. So then they write on it, across the street, opposite ISKCON, near ISKCON, 5 minutes from ISKCON. So even this, at least in our mind, we see how Prabhupada's will has been fulfilled. Now there's 1,000 guest houses in Ramanreti. So this is Prabhupada's wish for everyone to take shelter of Vrindavan, chant the Hare Krishna, realize your Siddhadeya, and go back to Godhead. The Subhuti Roy is receiving that instruction, was the first one in the recent history to receive that instruction. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told a few different devotees to go to Vrindavan, but he usually gave them different services, like Rupa and Sanatan. He told them to go to Vrindavan and reveal the hidden deities there, establish their Seva Puja, write Bhakti Granths, and do so much welfare work and preaching, establish the foundation of preaching for the world. And they also came to Vrindavan on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, they were also sent by Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan with a specific detail. But all these devotees that were sent to Vrindavan were sent for the Lord's work, to carry on the Lord's preaching work. But Subhuti Roy was simply sent to Vrindavan to get emancipated, to get liberated. No other work. So this, most people won't be pracharaks or sannyasis or gurus, but everyone is, it is the mandate for every jiva to realize his highest potential, which is love of God, and returning to the spiritual world. So Subhuti Roy is like the setting the standard. And Mahaprabhu is using him, Subhuti Roy, is, look, see, follow his footsteps. You're not a big this or a big that, and you're not a vidvan, and you're not a vairagi or a learned person, and you're simple, quiet. Okay, be simple, be quiet. Go to Vrindavan, nirantarakara nam sankirtan. Just get a little kuti and chant day and night, and watch the magic. That's all. Because when you chant day and night, something will come in your heart. Oh, I want to meet a saintly person. Where can I meet a saintly person? And if you're sincere enough, the saintly person will knock on your door. Say, excuse me, I'm just moving in this area here, and I wanted to ask some people about this apartment building, because I want to rent one room here for Kartik. And I saw your light was on. Can I ask you about this apartment building? Yeah, come in. And then, who are you? I'm so-and-so, Swami, Guru, this, that, whatever, or advanced devotee. And then you make some friendship. Because we were telling, we have some friends in Delhi, and they say, oh, we're so far from Vrindavan, we can't get any sadhu sangha. Of course, it's not so easy and away from holy dhams. But I said, anything's possible. If you're sincere in your bhajan, then you'll, like a magnet, you'll attract the sadhus. Because Krishna will send you whatever you need to make progress. Even sitting in Delhi, and they say, how is it possible? All the sadhus are in Haridwar, Rishikesh, Vrindavan, Mayapur. Who's going to come to Noida, to my little street? I said, why are you so limited in small thinking? Because even in your town, there's some temples coming up. Some Gaudiya temples are coming up, ISKCON, other missions. So maybe some sannyasis will come knocking on your door, ask for a donation, and you'll meet them. And then you'll say, oh, can you tell me something about Krishna consciousness? Enliven me, inspire me. And then they'll tell you something. And I was preaching like this and telling them. And then, because I know that there are some members of the Gaudiya movement, the guru and his brahmacharis, they go in different neighborhoods of Delhi and they knock on the door. This is the guru, a very elderly person, and his brahmacharis. They just wander here and there in different neighborhoods and knock on the door, and the person opens the door, and there's this rather influential learned and sannyasi of great stature and attraction standing there, and he says, good morning, or whatever in Hindi, swagatam. I'm just moving in this neighborhood from Vrindavan with my brahmacharis. If you'd like, we can come in your house and do Nam Sankirtan. It's on Sunday morning. And most pious Indians, at least, will say, please, come in my house and bless my house. This goes on. And it's, of course, it doesn't, needless to say, he also captures the hearts of a lot of people this way. So I was preaching like this, and then about a week later, someone knocked on my door. And it was a very advanced sannyasi, Gaudi Vaishnava sannyasi, with some of his brahmacharis. And he said, listen, we're doing Govardhan Parikrama tomorrow morning, early. And we heard you had a place, can we stay here? I said, my pleasure. So then the next 5 hours, I just drank liquid nectar through my ears until 11 o'clock. So this is Vrindavan, in one sense, but it's also the sincerity that the devotee has, simply by Nirantarakara Nam Sankirtan, absorbing ourselves in the holy name, everything will be adjusted, as Prabhupada is saying. Whatever we need. Ekanama base tamar papa dosha jabe aranama layate Krishna charana paibe. A lot of competition here. They're simply absorbed in Lila Katha, and we're trying to beat out all this philosophy and, you know. They say, what are these guys, all the dry philosophy? You know, don't you know there's so many Leelas going on? This is Madhyan Leela. It's just finished. We just witnessed 6 hours Leelas at Radhakund, and we were sleeping all afternoon. And you missed so many Leelas. Don't you know there was Jal Kali here, the Banbihar, there was Pasha Kala, now they've gone to Suryakund. And what are you people doing? Don't you know? Don't listen to this guy. Listen to us. Sri Tota Uvacha. Tota means parrot. These aren't parrots, but they're minor birds. Sri Minor Bird Uvacha. They're very funny birds. So Mahaprabhu continued to advise Subhuti Roy. Begin chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And when your chanting is almost pure, all your sinful reactions will go away. After you chant perfectly, you will get shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Eka nama base tomar papa dosha jabe, ara nama layate Krishna charana paive. So, if once you chant namabas without offense, then papa dosh, the faults, the difficulties, the dosh of your sins, all the problems and complications which are caused by the sins residing in your heart, they will be finished. Then, after that, then again you chant, Layate, you will attain the feet of Krishna. Hare Krishna nama layate Krishna stane stiti Mahapataka rahaya e prayaschiti. When you are situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, no sinful reactions can touch you. This is the best solution to all sinful activity. Krishna stani. Ara Krishna nam layate Krishna stan. Nam rup guna lila. So Krishna's nam is the lila, and the lila goes on in the stan, lila stan. So when one chants Krishna's name will take him to Krishna's Leelasthan, the place of his Leelas. And this is the best, there's no other prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means forms of atonement, counteracting our sins by doing some other activity, one karmic activity or another karmic activity. Lord Chaitanya is saying, no need. Panagyaraya Vrindavana Nere Chalila Prayag Ayodhya Diya Naimasharanyaila, receiving the order from Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan, Subhuti Roy left Varanasi and went through Prayag, Ayodhya, and Naimasharanya toward Vrindavan. Shuksha Kashtani Rai Veche Maturate Panchachaya Paishahaya Eka 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 Bojhate. Subhuti Roy would collect dry wood in the forest and take it to the city of Mathura to sell. He would receive for each load he would receive 5 or 6 paisa. It's very interesting. When you live in Vrindavan, these verses of Bhagavatam about donkeys carrying heavy loads and fools and all these things, asses and camels and swavidvarahushtakarai and all these different verses, they really take shape, they take visual shape, because you see camels, you don't see too many camels in Paris. Maybe camel-like people, which the verse is comparing to, but then to see the camel eating the thorn, actually literally seeing the camel chewing on the thorns from the bobble tree and draughts of blood on his lips because thorns are cutting his lips and he's relishing the taste of his blood, and that's like the materialist is like this type of camel, then it makes a very deep impression. When we come to Vrindavan, we see these ladies that have a little chopper in their hands and they go along the side of the roads and they chop all these dried branches from the bobble tree or even the green ones. And they collect them on the roadside, about, I don't know, 12, 10 feet long or something, bundle. And then they tie them up with some weeds. And then two ladies, because they're too heavy for one lady to pick up. So two ladies, oh, come on, give me a hand. And they pick up, one gets under it and puts this big bundle on her sticks. And then she walks from somewhere way out by Madhavan Colony or Sank Road. She walks 6 kilometers all the way into her house. She puts it on her roof somehow, and it dries out. When it's dry, she sells it in the market in Vrindavan. They use it for cooking and so many things. He must have seen it. So now when you have that in your mind, you can see, oh, here's Subhuti Roy. Subhuti Roy was a landlord in Mayapur, Navadvip Mandal. It means you have so many servants working for you, like Hussein Khan. And now you've come to Mathura and you're cutting dried wood, come to Vrindavan and to make a few paisa to buy a little food. It's quite interesting. Apane rahe eka paisara chana chabaiya ara paisa bhaniyastane rakena dhariya. Earning his livelihood by selling dry wood, Subhuti Roy would live on only 1 paisa's worth of chickpeas. And he would deposit whatever other paisa he had with some merchant. Because they didn't have HFDC Bank or Hong Kong Bank or Citibank in those days. Didn't get the idea yet. So the grocers, grocery store people, they would hold money for the people in the village. And then they would invest that in buying wholesale goods and then sell at retail price and make money and then sometimes even give interest on the money they were holding, just like a bank is interest. Even today, I know devotees over the years, they've come to Vrindavan. They're clever type. I was never so clever, but clever devotees, they come to Vrindavan. They make friendship with different shop owners in Loy Bazaar. And these are new shop owners who are trying to develop their shop, so they want to buy more stock. So a devotee will come and say, listen, I'll give you 2 lakhs, or I'll give you 3 lakhs of rupees, and then you give me every month 20,000 rupees, as like interest, which is much more than a bank would ever give. So then the store owner would, of course you have to have a lot of trust in these local store owners. But some devotees, they're clever devotees, they know how to find out or how to do these things. And I know some devotees have been living 10, 20 years in Vrindavan just on interest of money they lend to the store owners. It's much more than the bank, much, much more. Bank is giving 5, 10%, the store owner is giving 20, 25%. This is a clever way to live in Vrindavan. So there, that's all, even today, sometimes the store owners are functioning as banks. So he lived like that. So he's living very frugally and very austerely, eating some chickpeas. This is the standard fare. This is standard sadhu fare in India. If a sadhu is not doing madhukari, which is extremely limited to Brajmandal, there's no madhukari anywhere in India except Brajmandal. There's no such thing anywhere. Navadvip, Puri, anywhere. You can go anywhere in India and no one will give you anything. You knock on the door and say, Radhe, Radhe, Jaini Tai, Jaini Tai, Haribol, Haribol. They say, get out from here. This is a special feature. This is the mercy of Giri Govardhan. The Brijvasis, even today, they have this heart. They have this special heart. This is a blessing of Giriraj. Because it's told in that Leela that when he received all the food from the Brijvasis, he said, oh, you've been so kind to me, I bless you, that you will never go hungry, and no one will ever go hungry in Braj. So the Brijvasis, they feel, it's come down since 5,000 years, they feel indebted to Giriraj because they've always had sufficient food. In parts of India over the last 5,000 years, there's been massive starvation and people dying of starvation at different time periods. But in Vrindavan, people are always hale and hearty. Blessings of Giri Govardhan. So this is all the mercy of Giriraj, that this madhukari aspect is going on in Brajmandal. People's hearts are like this. Kamyavan, Vrindavan itself, Vrindavan town, Aniyur, Radhakund, Mukarai, Varsana, Nandagan. You can go anywhere. If you've ever gone on Brajmandal Parikrama, go in any village and you go to some house, Radhe, 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 Radhe. And you like sadhu, looking like sadhu or hungry, please, you know, Radhe, Radhe. Oh yeah, come. Give some buttermilk, some roti, even sabji, halava, gaur, anything. And try it. Go to Navadvip and try it. You won't get a piece of flat rice. So, if you're not doing madhukari, and not many sadhus do, then generally, and sadhus are always walking. They're always moving from here to there, wandering around. So they need something that gives them sufficient protein and strength, and it's cheap. And the best thing that does that is chickpeas. Chana. They say chana. So most sadhus always have a pocket of chana. It's cheap, cheap and best. And there's even fasts, many times they do bratas where they only eat chana, we see here. But he was saving his money. So was he saving his money to go to New York or what? Was he? He was in Vrindavan, he was depositing his spare paisa with a grocer and eating some chickpeas. Duki Vaishnav Deki Tanre Karana Bojan Godia Aile Dhadi Bhat Taila Mandhan. This is why he was saving his money. He was eating chickpeas, which I don't know if you ever had chana, dried chickpeas, they're dry. And they're not the tastiest things. They're with little salt that you can get by. But it doesn't say he had salt, but I hope you did. But salt in those days is also very rare, very dear and costly 500 years ago. Subhuti Roy used to spend his savings to supply yogurt to the Bengali Vaishnavas who came to Mathura. He also gave them cooked rice and oil massages, taila mardan. When he saw a poverty-stricken Vaishnava, he would use his money to feed him. This is what happens when you chant Hare Krishna without cessation. Nirantara Nam Sankirtan. Your heart becomes very soft. Prabhupada's purport. There is a special reference for the maintenance of Bengali Vaishnavas. A Gaudiya Vaishnava is a Bengali Vaishnava. Most of the devotees at that time were Gaudiyas and Odiyas, inhabitants of Bengal and Orissa. There are still many hundreds of thousands of Mahaprabhu's followers in Bengal and Orissa. Bengalis are habituated to eating cooked rice as their staple food. When they went to Mathura in the north, they found that the people generally ate chapatis or rotis made of wheat. The Bengalis could not digest this food because they were used to cooked rice. Therefore, as soon as Subhuti Roy saw a Bengali Vaishnava arriving in Mathura, he would try to supply him with cooked rice. He would even cook it, right? So that all that dry wood he was collecting, he was not only selling that dry wood to get a few paisa, which he would buy chickpeas and then deposit with a grocer to buy yogurt and rice for his Bengali friends or devotees, but he also saved some of the dry wood that he collected to cook the rice for the Bengalis. He would try to supply them with cooked rice. Bengalis are also accustomed to taking a massage with mustard oil. And who is writing this purport? This purport is written by one transcendental personality who appeared in the precincts of Bengal. Nityalila Purushottam Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And it was also his custom in his early childhood and later on in ISKCON, not so much in Vrindavan and during those days of Radha Damodar, but in the days of ISKCON, Prabhupada would take his daily oil massage with mustard oil, sandalwood oil on his head, mustard oil mixed with camphor. That was his speciality, which is interesting because camphor is cooling and mustard is heating. So you can see in his rooms in Vrindavan, there's a bottle there and it says camphorated mustard oil. Some type of medicinal use. That means that mustard oil is the anupan, it is the Vedic or Ayurvedic medium. Honey, oil, milk, ghee, these things are used for carrying different Ayurvedic medicines into the body or into the tissues. So Prabhupada had some heat condition. His Prabhupada's constitution was pitta vayu. So that's why he was massaging his head with sandalwood oil. Sandalwood oil is extremely cooling. So Prabhupada had a very, like a nuclear reactor. He's trying to cool down his brain. And his body was massaging, the mustard oil was carrying the camphor into his skin to cool down his body. As you know, Prabhupada was extremely fiery. He's like a small golden Bengali volcano. Right? He was very powerful. So Prabhupada certainly knows about the custom of Bengalis to take a massage of mustard oil. In any case, Subhuti Roy wanted to serve the Vaishnavas according to their needs. Therefore, he would supply yogurt to ease the digestion of food eaten in Mathura, particularly the chapatis and rotis made with wheat. What to speak of the chilies? If you do Madhukari and Braj Mandal, and you usually get a few chilies along with it, or you get some sabji sometimes with the rotis, and if you don't have a little container of yogurt in your pocket, you're going to have a hole in your stomach. The sabji literally looks like it's on fire. These Brijbasi sabjis. Prabhupada doesn't mention that, but that's a really big part. Rupa Gosai Aila Tanre Bahu Priti Kaila Apana Sange Lana Dvadashavana Dakaila. When Rupa Goswami arrived in Mathura, Subhuti Roy, out of love and affection for him, wanted to serve him in so many ways. He personally took Rupa Goswami to see all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. It's interesting, as we were mentioning earlier, that the standard way to enter Vrindavan is first go to Mathura, then take darshan of the 12 forests of Vrindavan, then enter Vrindavan. So here, Subhuti Roy was living in Mathura, and so he became the host for the visiting Bengali Vaishnavas, who would also first come to Mathura, first bathe in Vishram Ghat, then see the 12 forests of Vrindavan. So this is, you can see, this is the standard of Gaudiya Vaishnava. And he was waiting right there at the reception. He was the welcoming committee, the travelers, what do they call it? In the airport, they have travelers committee or something like that. They welcome travelers. So he was, this is the port of entry. This is the port of entry for Braj Mandal, is Mathura. Because this, and you read in Bhakti Ratnakara, Mathura Mahatyam, everywhere, the six Goswamis, Madhavendra Puri, Nityananda, Chaitanya, Janavamata, everyone and anyone that ever came to Braj Mandal for one day or one month or life, first they would come to Mathura, pay respects to the Janmasthan, take bath in Vishram Ghat, tour the 12, and then perform the austerity of walking around the 12 forests of Vrindavan, hearing all the Leelas. Then they would, after hearing, it's kind of like you go into an ice cream store and they have 20 flavors. So you say, let me have a little bit of each one. Maybe, I don't know. I never did, but just say. So then you take, you sample each one. So out of 20, you may find one you really like. Say there's 12 flavors. There's ice cream store with 12 flavors. So you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then, acha. They give me 1 kilo of number 5. So the idea is that you come from Bengal, you've never been to Vrindavan before. So what is it all about? What are the flavors? What is the flavor of Kamyavan? What is the flavor of Vrindavan? What is the flavor of Kokilavan? And Bahu, and Madhavan, and Madhavan, and Mahavan, and Kokilavan. All, what is the flavor? So then you tour around the sweet land of Vrindavan, which is like ice cream, right? Madhu. It's called Madhuryadam. And you taste the different sweetnesses in the different forests, and then you make a decision. Oh, I want 1 kilo of this one. The decision is, where do I want to live? And do bhajan. They say, I want this place. And then, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this is one reason, another reason why they tour the 12 forests. First of all, to follow the footsteps of the Acharyas, Mahajana Yena Katasa Panta, that everyone before me did it like this. And this is the prescribed way of doing it. Mahaprabhu did it, everyone did it, so let me do it. So Subhuti Roy is very intelligently positioned himself at the entrance door. So if you're going to serve someone or serve masses of people, positioning is very important. If you go to, if you want to serve Vaishnavas and you go where there's lots of Vaishnavas, you'll be successful. So there he was waiting with open arms, or let's say open heart. Subhuti Roy was waiting with open heart in Mathura to serve the needs of the Vaishnavas. He says whatever their needs were. You need yogurt? Take yogurt. You need rice? I'll cook it for you. I can just give you rice, but then you have to run around and find wood. You have to find wood and cook it. Look, meal's ready. Subhuti Roy's Daba. Subhuti Roy's Bengali Daba. Meal's ready. And then, oh, you feel tired from walking? Let me give you a massage. What a welcome. You imagine? You're a Bengali. You've walked, I don't know how many months it takes, you know, four or five months to walk from Bengal to Vrindavan. And when you get there, you imagine your legs are pretty sore. We walk around Govardhan Hill and then we can't walk for a week. Right? We get sore. So then they get so sore, then he said, and then when they get there, they're thinking the whole time, boy, I wish I could get an oil massage. You know, then as soon as he gets there, he says, oh, welcome. Would you like a massage with mustard oil? Mustard oil? A massage? Oh, wow. That's why he's Subhuti. He's his good intelligence. Intelligence used in the service of Krishna and the devotees, that is good intelligence. But intelligence used in the service of your own body and this material world, that is called durbuddhi. Durbuddhi. Bad intelligence. But subuddhi is, this is the perfection of intelligence. To think, to plan, to discriminate how to please the Vaishnavas and please Krishna. So this is a good example we're getting from subuddhi, Rai, of serving the Vaishnavas. And then, look, so just see what fortune he had. First he served all these Vaishnavas, and because he served all these Vaishnavas, we don't know who they were. The next verse is, he got the big time. It's like maybe you're shining shoes, that you're sitting on the street and you're shining shoes every day and you're getting 25 cents. And you're shining shoes, you just see shoes all the time. And somebody comes up and says, shine my shoes, and you just start shining. And you're shining, you spit on them a little bit and get a spit shine. And then you look up, and it's the Prime Minister of India. And he's just walking somewhere, and he just felt like a shoe shine. And he said, and he strikes a conversation with you, and he says, "Shine, man, shine, wala." He said, "What are you doing? Is this what you do?" "Yeah, I was going to school, but my father died, and I had to support my family, and I couldn't finish my education. Actually, I was studying computer science, but I couldn't get a job, and so now I'm shining shoes. I had to marry my sister and this and that. You know, India's, I got all these kind of deals. So then the prime minister, he says, listen, I'm going to make you my driver. Do you think you can learn how to drive a car? He says, yeah, I think so. I'm pretty coordinated. I think I could do it. All right. Tomorrow you come to my house. So now one day he's shining his shoes, and next day he's like, becomes the driver, the prime minister. You know, and he's driving big Mercedes all the time, air conditioned, getting good pay. So because he was just doing his humble service, and he got this great promotion. So Subhuti Roy is just massaging anybody's back and giving them cooked rice and personally going out chopping this bauble trees and getting all thorn. When you deal with bauble trees, it's not like you're dealing with velvet. Bauble trees have all these long thorns on them, which maybe you stepped on. So when his hands are getting cut every day, and his head's getting cut, and his face is getting cut from carrying these trees and dealing with them, because I've dealt with them a little bit for some of this fencing. So he's taking great hardship to serve any Bengali Vaishnava. And then cook the rice for them, then massage them, and then Krishna's very pleased. Oh, all right, now you get to meet the prime minister of Vaishnavas. You get to serve Rupa Manjari. Rupa Goswami. So, Rupa Goswami arrived in Mathura. Subhuti Roy, out of love and affection for him, wanted to serve him in so many ways. Rupa Goswami, Aila Tanri, Bahu Priti Kaila, Apan Sange Lana Dwarashadvan De Kaila. He personally took Rupa Goswami to see all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Srila Rupa Goswami was a minister in the government of Hussein Shah. Oh, very interesting. Small world, right? And Subhuti Roy was also known to Hussein Shah, because as a boy, the Shah had been Subhuti Roy's servant. It appears that Subhuti Roy was elderly, yet while he was living in Mathura, he showed Rupa Goswami the 12 forests of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada here is confirming my intuition earlier when I said that Subhuti Roy must have been quite elderly, because he had this idea in his mind to leave his family and his work to take sannyas. So it wasn't that he was a newly married man. He was quite old. And then he left and came to Vrindavan. So I think this concludes. This concludes the story of Subhuti Roy taking shelter of Vrindavan. Is there a question?
I was just thinking about this 12 forests. It's a very beautiful article. I'd like to say
this. Yeah, we mentioned that. And you were in that class about the 12 flavors and the 12 rasas and the 12 tastes, because we have tastes for the five primary rasas and secondary rasas. We're trying to satisfy the material taste for these 12 rasas with our society, friendship, and love. Or astonishment and wonder and humor. And we like humor. We watch so many comedy shows on TV and radio and get joke books and this and that. So we have desire to relish the different rasas, the perversion of these spiritual rasas. So when we take a tour of the 12 forests of Vrindavan, then this material desire to enjoy Sakyaras, friendship in this world, and lovers in this world, and parents and children in this world, and astonishment and horror films and suspense thrillers and comedy films and all these things, it becomes converted or purified into the desire to relish or serve Krishna in all these various rasas and establish ourselves in our own sthayibhav. And serve Krishna and relish these spiritual rasas in their pure form. That's what you're wanting to say. Yeah, we mentioned that in one class, but we're discussing that. It's beautiful. It's in one of my books also. I put that. Maybe appreciating Vrindavan. We did it once. We did Braj Mahal Parikrama once, 1988. It's wonderful to hear about the Vaishnavas, Subhuti Roy, working so hard, so selfless. You know, imagine going out and cutting down bauble trees, because you deal with a tree that's full of thorns, and you can't see all the thorns, and you're trying to do something with them, move them here and there. You invariably get scratched and cut. Even we have gloves. He didn't have gloves. We have some gloves, and we're wearing them. They say, forget your gloves, and they find a way to scratch you with your arm, your elbow, or something. And
when Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami ran from afterwards, who ran from the prison. He took a lot of money with him and then redistributed. So Buddha was very rich, why wouldn't he kind of take a lot of money with him? Or he left without anything.
Yeah, Rupa Goswami, when he retired from his, I believe it was Sanatana was in jail, and Rupa gave some money to get him out of jail, as I recall. But it is a fact what you're saying about Rupa had, he had boatloads of gold coins when he retired, 7 boatloads or something, and he left 50 with it. He put 50 in fixed account, 50% in fixed account, and he gave 25% to his family. And 25% for the immediate service of the Vaishnavas. And the fixed account he later used for the service of Vaishnavas also. So the question is, why didn't Subhuti Roy, who was similarly very wealthy, why didn't he bring a little stash with him when he came to Vrindavan? But there's different teachings to be displayed through different associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're both eternal associates, Nitya Parishads. So Subhuti Roy showed the example to come to Vrindavan with nothing. Right? Sometimes we come with fixed deposits. Sometimes we come with nothing. But they both came to Vrindavan. They both lived here. But Subhuti Roy was meant to teach us a different teaching than Rupa Goswami. That's a good question, because he was fabulously wealthy. Maybe his wife was quite demanding. He couldn't get away with 50% or 25%. She wanted 100%. So we had to see. So now, anything else? Yes.
He was saying that he was thinking about taking sannyas. Is it not the duty of sannyasi to beg? He was kind of working and selling and putting small deposits in the shop.
Yes.
So is it because these days, our days, if Brahmachari wants to remain Brahmachari, the same kind of work and collect money for his bhajana, it's kind of criticized. The Brahmachari and sannyasi, it's all renunciation. So is it okay to work to maintain your spiritual life?
Well, the exact teaching in Bengali. And that part of the story is Subhuti Roy. It says that Varanasi Aila Sabha Vishaya Charya. Vishaya Charya. So it sounds like the bhajan. Vishaya Charya Kave Shudahaviman. Right? Shri Vrindavan Dham. It says that Vishaya means sense gratification. Charya means, is Bengali for Chordia, means to give up or renounce or leave behind. Giving up the implications of material activities. So it says in the actual Bengali that he left his family and business affairs and went to Varanasi. The actual story is that he left his family. It seems that almost from the Bengali, it seems rather abruptly. He just left. That's all it says. Before and after this verse, it just says that he got sprinkled. He saw this, taking this sprinkling of the water on his head by the Muslim, he took it as an opportunity, and he left his family and business affairs and went to Varanasi. It seems like I'm out. And he left. And Prabhupada, he gives his own, this is his tika, or his explanation. And he used exactly the phrase that we said, and you repeated. Subhuti Roy was thinking of taking sannyas. And by the grace of Krishna, he received this opportunity. He therefore left his family and went to Varanasi. Almost when you read this purport, you feel that Prabhupada is identifying his life with Subhuti Roy. Because as you know, his wife sold his Bhagavatam to buy tea biscuits. And for many times, Prabhupada was thinking of sannyas, or at least thinking of leaving this situation. And when he had dreams of his spiritual master encouraging and inviting him. And Prabhupada's response to those dreams was, oh, how horrible. Prabhupada said, how horrible to take sannyas. Prabhupada was actually fearful. And it wasn't until Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Maharaj encouraged him. But Prabhupada thought about it sometimes. But so these two things are there. So Prabhupada is giving us, he's telling us the thinking of Subhuti Roy, which is certainly the license of Acharyas. Acharyas have this license to reveal the thinking of the eternal associates of the Lord. And one champion of this type of, this style of tika is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, who is highly regarded in the Vaishnava Samaj. Because, and that's what he's appreciated for. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is most appreciated for his revealing the thinking and feeling of Radharani and Lalita and Vishakha and all the Parishads. That's what distinguishes his tikas from anyone else's, especially Sridhar Swami and others. He gets right into the, you read the tika of Vishwanath and Bhagavad Gita, all his verses he's saying, and in this verse Arjuna was thinking like this, and that Krishna might say this, so then Arjuna said this. It's nowhere in the Sanskrit. It's nowhere in the verses. But when we read the tika, he explains this whole, the inner dialogue, the inner dilemma and dialogue and conversation was going on with the two sides of Arjuna's mind. Have you read Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary on Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam? This is the feature. This is what attracts us. It's, well, how does, and you, when you read it, you think, wow, how does he know that? How does he see that? How does he know that? How does he perceive that? So then we worship him for that, and we relish that, and try to appreciate what revelations he's bringing out of the mine, the gold mine of his heart. So in the same way, we, of course, we're so close and so familiar, we may not have the same degree of appreciation. But in 100 years or 1,000 years or whatever, when people read the commentaries of Srila Prabhupada, they'll also appreciate what insight, what perception, what transcendental realizations that he's gleaning all these secrets of philosophy and ras from the verses of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Granths. So Prabhupada is taking this as, like I was also thinking of sannyas, so was Subhuti Roy. So he didn't really take sannyas. It seems that he just left. And so whatever money he had in bank account or whatever he had, he just left it behind and said, chalo. He went to Varanasi. He wasn't going to Vrindavan, he just went to Varanasi. And then he went there to consult with the learned Brahmins, pundits, because Varanasi is famous as a place. In other words, you have a question, then you're looking for an answer. So the obvious place to look for an answer was somebody who may have it. So you have a question about Dharma, about Varna and Dharma and Ashram. Well, it's best to ask a pundit, a smarta. So Varanasi is loaded with smarta Brahmins, thousands. It's the headquarters. If anyone wants to learn Sanskrit in India, modern India, they go to Varanasi, or what they call Benares. And 500 years ago, many would go to Navadvip. But even then, Benares is famous. Is a Sanskrit capital of India. It's full of pundits. So many of our Gaudiya Vaishnava pundits have gone to Varanasi to study Sanskrit. So it seems that he went there to get a solution to his problem, and they said, give up your life. And then he thought, well, that's nice. But then someone said, well, there's someone here from Bengal also. There's some Mahaprabhu or someone also happens to also be here in Varanasi. Oh, really? He's here? Yes, he's here. Oh, he runs off to Mahaprabhu and he says, listen, forget the ghee. Just take the ghee and make some pakoras and offer them the Giriraj. But go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna incessantly.